We either run toward lesser outcomes and opportunities, or we simply run away from the big ones. If courage isn't the absence of fear, but moving past it, then thinking big isn't the absence of doubts, but moving past them. Only living big will let you experience your true life and work potential.
Big ideas. Think big. Avoid incremental thinking that simply asks, "What do I do next?" This is, at best, the slow lane to success, and at worst, the off-ramp. Ask bigger questions. A good rule of thumb is to double down everywhere in your life. If your goal is 10, ask the question, "How can I reach 20?" Set a goal so far above what you want that you'll be building a plan that practically guarantees your original goal. Don't order from the menu. Apple's celebrated 1997 Think Different ad campaign features icons like Ali, Dylan, Einstein, Hitchcock, Picasso, Gandhi, and others who saw things differently and who went on to transform the world we know. The point was that they didn't choose from the available options. They imagined outcomes that no one else had. They ignored the menu and ordered their own creations. As the ad reminds us, people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the only ones who do. Act bold. Big thoughts go nowhere without bold action. Once you've asked a big question, pause to imagine what life looks like with the answer. If you still can't imagine it, go study people who have already achieved it. What are the models, systems, habits, and relationships of other people who have found the answer? As much as we'd like to believe we're all different, what consistently works for others will almost always work for us. Don't fear failure. It's as much a part of your journey to extraordinary results as success. Adopt a growth mindset, and don't be afraid of where it can take you. Extraordinary results aren't built solely on extraordinary results. They're built on failure, too. In fact, it would be accurate to say that we fail our way to success. When we fail, we stop. We ask what we need to do to succeed. We learn from our mistakes, and we grow. Don't be afraid to fail. See it as part of your learning process, and keep striving for your true potential.
Don't let small thinking cut your life down to size. Think big, aim high, act bold, and see just how big you can blow up your life.
Part 2. The Truth, the Simple Path to Productivity. Eric Heller said, "Be careful how you interpret the world. It is like that." Unclenched.
For many years, I suffered from trying to live the lies of success. I began my career assuming everything mattered equally, so in an effort to cram it all in, I attempted too much at once. Frustrated, I eventually began to doubt I had the discipline or will to achieve success at all. As my life continually fell out of balance, I started to consider that trying to live a big life might be a bad thing. When you try to live up to something that isn't possible, you can get pretty down. I was pretty down. In an attempt to make it all work, I began to bear down even harder. You might say that I started to clench my way to success. I really did. I thought that this might be the way you went through life, with your jaw clenched, your fist clenched, your stomach clenched, and your butt clenched. Leaning forward, breath held and body taut, tight and totally tense. I just assumed that was the feeling of focus and intensity as I struggled to live with the lies. That approach actually worked, but it also put me in the hospital. I also began to think you had to talk like a success, walk like a success, and even dress for success. It wasn't me, but I was open to any way to make things work. So I took seriously the suggestion that you are supposed to project the way you want to be. That approach worked as well, but after a while, I simply got tired of playing success. I bought into getting up before the crack of dawn, getting revved up playing inspirational theme songs, and getting going before anyone else. In fact, I became so full of this thinking that I would drive to the office while the rest of the city slept and then crash at my desk just to make sure that I beat everyone else to work. I started to accept the notion that maybe this is what ambition and achievement looked like as I fought the good fight. I would hold staff meetings at 7:30 in the morning, and at 7:31, I would actually shut the door and lock out anyone who showed up late. I was going overboard, but I was beginning to believe this was the only way you could succeed, and the way you pushed others to succeed as well. This approach also worked, but in the end it also pushed me too hard, others too far, and my world over the edge. I was truly beginning to think that the secret to success was to get as tightly wound up as possible each morning, set myself on fire, and then open the door and fly through the day unwinding on the world until I literally burnt out. And what did all of this get me? It got me success, and it got me sick. Eventually, it got me sick of success. So what did I do? I ditched the lies and went in the opposite direction. I joined Overachievers Anonymous and went anti-establishment on all the success tactics that supposedly build success. First off, I got unclenched. I actually started listening to my body, slowed down, and chilled out. Next, I started wearing t-shirts and jeans to work and defied anyone to make a comment. I dropped the language and the attitude and went back to just being me. I had breakfast with my family. I got in shape physically and spiritually and stayed there. And last, I started doing less. Yes, less. Intentionally. Purposefully less. I was looser than ever, way laid back for me, and breathing. I challenged the axioms of success, and guess what? I became more successful than I ever dreamed possible and felt better than I'd ever felt in my life. Here's what I found out. We overthink, overplan, and overanalyze our careers, our businesses, and our lives. I learned that long hours are neither virtuous nor healthy, and that we usually succeed in spite of most of what we do, not because of it. I discovered that we can't manage time, and that the key to success isn't in all the things we do, but in the handful of things we do well. I learned that success comes down to this, being appropriate in the moments of your life. If you can honestly say, this is where I'm meant to be right now, doing exactly what I'm doing, then all the amazing possibilities for your life become possible. Most of all, I learned that the one thing is the surprisingly simple truth behind extraordinary results.
Chapter 10, The Focusing Question. George Anders said, "There is an art to clearing away the clutter and focusing on what matters most. It is simple and it is transferable. It just requires the courage to take a different approach."
On June 23, 1885, in the town of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Andrew Carnegie addressed the students of the Curry Commercial College. At the height of his business success, the Carnegie Steel Company was the largest and most profitable industrial enterprise in the world. Carnegie would later become the second richest man in history after John D. Rockefeller. In Carnegie's talk, entitled "The Road to Business Success," he discussed his life as a successful business person and gave this advice. "And here is the prime condition of success, the great secret. Concentrate your energy, thought, and capital exclusively upon the business in which you are engaged. Having begun on one line, resolve to fight it out on that line, to lead in it, adopt every improvement, have the best machinery, and know the most about it. The concerns which fail are those which have scattered their capital, which means that they have scattered their brains also. They have investments in this, or that, or the other, here, there, and everywhere. Don't put all your eggs in one basket is all wrong. I tell you, put all your eggs in one basket, and then watch that basket. Look round you and take notice. Men who do that do not often fail. It is easy to watch and carry the one basket. It's trying to carry too many baskets.